This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And we turn now to talk about the possibility that Saddam Hussein might be sent into exile or overthrown by a military coup. Both those suggestions are gaining currency as the international pressure on the Iraqi president intensifies. Over the weekend, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld signaled that Saddam Hussein might be able to escape charges of war crimes if he leaves Iraq voluntarily. Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address, TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us to talk about these possible scenarios are Shamar Sahata, Acting Director of the Arab Studies Program at Georgetown University here in Washington. Welcome back to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
He's here with us in Studio 3A. And with us on the line from Cairo is Scott McLeod, Cairo Bureau Chief for Time Magazine. Good to talk to you, Scott.
Hi, Neil.
Now, you were the first to report this idea that I think it was Saudi Arabia was holding discussions about the idea of urging Saddam to leave voluntarily.
Yeah, the Saudis have become convinced that no matter what, the Bush administration is going to change the regime in Baghdad, and they're very concerned that this happen in a way that leaves Iraq intact. In particular, it's very worried about a destruction or a power vacuum, let's say, in the central authority of Iraq in the aftermath of a war to unseat Saddam Hussein. So the Saudis now are trying to encourage a system whereby the generals would overthrow Saddam prior to a war taking place and therefore obviate the need for the war.
I should include the suggestion that several of the principal players involved in this have all denied that any such thought has ever entered their minds, including, apparently, at least according to a relative, Saddam Hussein himself.
Well, the idea isn't so much, the Saudi idea isn't so much to convince Saddam to go into exile. What the Saudis are trying to do, basically, is divide Saddam Hussein from his loyalists, or the commanders of the army and the Republican Guard. Their idea in particular is that the United Nations Security Council would offer an amnesty to the senior military and government personnel in Iraq, save 100 or so top people around Saddam Hussein, including Saddam and his family. And the idea would be that when the Americans are just about to launch the war, and you could hear the footsteps on the outskirts of Baghdad practically, that given a choice between going down with Saddam or turning against him with the offer of amnesty from future prosecution for war crimes or crimes against the Iraqi people, and perhaps even a place in a future Iraq, that the armed forces would turn against Saddam at that point.
Such an idea, even discussions of such an idea of overthrow, this is a pretty significant shift for the Arab world, is it not?
I think it's very, very important. I mean, whether or not anything comes of this, I think what has happened is that the Arab world is beginning to shift from basically trying to talk America out of going to war, trying to get on board with the inspections process, trying to encourage the Iraqis to go with the inspectors. Now it's almost a sea change that they are seeing the way the momentum is going, and they want to get rid of Saddam as well. And they're now talking regime change rather than just adherence to UN resolutions. But their preference is they're very, very worried. I think this is also a key point. The Saudis and other Arab states are very worried about a power vacuum in Baghdad. This is not a historical country. This is not a normal country with normal borders. This is a country that could fragment, and the Saudis in particular are very worried about that. And they want to make sure that the day after, there's a central authority in Baghdad that can hold the country together. They're not convinced, they don't believe that the U.S. military will stay in Iraq to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So they want to make sure that the regime basically stays intact minus Saddam Hussein and his cronies.
Samer Shahata, if I recall, there was an open letter published last month by a group of Arab intellectuals urging, not so much a coup d'etat, but urging Saddam Hussein to step down voluntarily. Is this idea gaining any traction either way, whether it's a coup or voluntary exile?
Well, it's certainly gaining traction in the Arabic press. I don't think either option is likely at the moment, but as we get closer to January 27th and then after that, and certainly if a bullet is fired, then one of these options, either the silver bullet option, which is someone in Iraq taking Saddam out, or the golden handshake option, Saddam voluntarily going into exile in a country like Libya, for example, without the threat of prosecution for war crimes, those things become more realistic. But at the moment, I really don't think that certainly the golden handshake option, Saddam going into exile, has any possibility.
Do you think that his generals might turn against him if push came to shove?
Well, what's said in Iraq often is that Saddam knows about people and their ideas before they do themselves. So he takes people out, before they can mobilize. And people are rational actors. They realize the cost, the potential costs are their own lives. So at the moment, their fate is tied with his. And this idea of someone taking him out was floated. It didn't get much press, but it was floated earlier in this country, in fact, on the pages of the Washington Post, trying to foment some dissent, as it were, at the top levels of the Iraqi regime, making things much easier for President Bush and the U.S. administration.
Is there any credence, Scott McCloud, in Cairo to the idea that Saddam Hussein might leave voluntarily somehow?
I don't think so. He's not the kind of guy who would voluntarily do that. He would rather, I think, fantasize that he can hold out and then go down in a ball of flames. I don't think many people are giving much credence, in the Arab world anyway, to the idea that he could be coaxed or talked into exile. You have to also realize it would be an incredible risk for Saddam, given all the pressure that the U.S. and others have put on him, to rely on some kind of an offer of free passage and amnesty and asylum and all of that. I don't think he would trust that he's a very paranoid individual. But I think there is some traction to this idea that maybe not now, but at the 11th hour, when they see their fate either going down with Saddam or a chance to save themselves, that the Iraqi army or elements of it may turn against him.
We've heard discussions of this, Samer Shahata, many times before over the past 12 years. It has never come to, I guess there have been a couple of attempts against Saddam, but they didn't get very far.
That's right. And, everyone knows now that Saddam models his rule after Stalin, that the regime is essentially coup-proof, that even high-ranking officials aren't allowed to get close to him with weapons and so forth. And no one knows the whereabouts of Saddam at any given moment, So he really goes to great extent to guard himself and to take care of his personal safety.
Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address, totn@npr.org. And joining us now is John, who's in Golden, Colorado.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my question.
Sure.
The first question, actually, is, like, all that talk about offer an exile for Saddam Hussein and, Germany is talking about and newspapers, etc. Could it be a part of a psychological warfare to deflate the morale of the Iraqi soldiers so they think that their leadership is not going to be there with them and is going to leave, is running away? And also, when they talk about that, could it be also that they're making, insinuating that to Saddam Hussein that he could leave the country, he has another option, and to deflate his morale also, and to look for another option and so on? I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the call, John.
Thank you.
Scott McCloud, part of the psychological operation?
Yeah, I think that's a very insightful question. I think that there is an element of psychological warfare going on here. I don't think the Saudis are necessarily proposing it, and the Turks may be getting on board, and the Egyptians may be getting on board on this proposal to encourage a coup via the amnesty scenario. I don't think this is entirely a psychological game on their part, but I think that overall, all these countries are allied with the United States, I think overall they do want to create this atmosphere where Saddam is discredited, his regime is discredited, and talk of amnesty, talk of exile, talk of overthrow become legitimate discussions, discussions that are plausible and that it may happen, it may not happen. And it creates an atmosphere that definitely will penetrate into the Iraqi elite and keep people there guessing about which way to jump.
Samer Shahata, you were just in Baghdad. You spent 6 days there talking to people, and I understand you were able to go around without a government minder, as most foreign visitors are obliged to walk around with somebody from the Ministry of Information hanging over their shoulder. Why was that?
Well, there were a couple of reasons, I guess. You know, in the evenings, I kind of just managed to walk out and go to coffee shops and eat at restaurants and talk to people and take taxis and so forth. I think one is, you know, I'm Egyptian-American, so it's not clear immediately that I'm an American or a Westerner. And secondly, I was there with the National Council of Churches. We were humanitarian inspectors, not weapons inspectors and so forth. And during the day, we were accompanied by officials from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Ministry of Religious Affairs, and so forth. But there wasn't too much attention paid to us and our activities in the evening and so on.
So what was the talk of Baghdad? Was any of this on the table?
No, none of this was on the table. People were confused, really. Iraqis didn't seem to understand why, and I think rightly so, why the U.S. was intent on waging war now. You know, they kind of pointed around and said, look at the state of our country after 12 years of sanctions. We're not a threat to the United States. We don't have weapons of mass destruction. We're cooperating with UNMAVIC and so forth. They thought it was about oil, really, or about, you know, unfinished business from Bush 41, Bush Senior, as it were. So there was confusion, and there was also, you know, there was no support, I found, for the idea of a U.S. war against Iraq to bring about regime change. Even people who were critical of the government of Saddam Hussein and so forth said that, you know, these are our own problems. These are domestic issues. We do not want democracy to come along with U.S. bombs, as it were.
You said there were people who were critical of Saddam Hussein's regime. This is an unhealthy position to take if there was a minder next to you.
I think that's right, but I think that from everything that I've read in the Arabic press and even in English, that in the last couple of months, as it were, with increasing pressure from the outside, there have been certain changes in Iraq. Right now, as is easily understandable, the regime wants to make as many friends as possible, internationally as well as domestically. That's why there was an amnesty for prisoners earlier and so forth. So they are concerned about getting Iraqis on their side in the case of a U.S. war, as it were.
We're speaking with Samer Shahata and with Scott McCloud of Time Magazine about reports that Saddam Hussein might be convinced to go either into exile or might be overthrown by his generals to avoid a conflict with the United States. Later in the program, we'll be joined by military analyst Elliot Cohen to talk about the psychological effects of the buildup in the Gulf and whether that makes war inevitable from Washington's point of view. And we'll also remember the great Broadway caricaturist Al Hirschfeld, who died today at the age of 100. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And now let's go to an email question, and this from Kathy in Sebago, Maine. If Saddam Hussein should step down, how would we be able to keep track of his whereabouts? Isn't it better to keep an enemy in plain sight? Isn't it likely Saddam might hide in league with Osama, plan attacks against the United States? Also, should military leaders of Iraq overthrow Saddam, how can we be certain Iraq would not then be ruled by someone just like or even worse than Saddam Hussein? Go to you, Mr. McCloud in Cairo.
Wow, a lot of questions there. I guess I would just say that you've got to make a distinction between Osama and Saddam. Saddam Hussein doesn't have very much popular support in the Middle East or among Arabs or Muslims. He has some. I would grant him that, but not very much. Most of his support, if you want to call it that, would come in a negative way, that people were against an American or a foreign invasion of Iraq, and that benefits Saddam. But unlike Osama bin Laden, I think that he has very little sort of popular support or emotional support. I think Osama, for better or worse, can claim to have some support, emotional support for his cause and so forth. But so I'm not too worried that Saddam Hussein is going to go and hide in the mountains of Afghanistan and Pakistan and plot terrorism against us. I don't think he has any kind of a network or any kind of a following who do that.
Okay, let's hear from Ed, who's in San Francisco.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
There's no question. We need to get rid of Saddam Hussein. You need to get him exiled. We need to get him out of there, but without the bloodshed of any Americans or any Iraqis. And for all of these people who are so gung-ho about this war, they think it's going to go so smooth, so easy. We should remind them by the 1956 war against Egypt by France and England, where in fact it was very similar because instead of oil, these two countries were after the Suez Canal, which at that time was much, much more important than any oil. And what they did, they bombarded Egypt for several weeks, killing tens of thousands of Egyptians, but they could not win the war. They got stuck, basically, and Israel as well got involved hitting Egypt from the east. And it was so bad that eventually President Eisenhower interfered and put a stop to the war. And the net result of that was that both the French government and the English government fell, and it led to the mental illness of Anthony Eden, who was the Prime Minister of England at that time, and something very similar may happen. So we should really be very careful about shedding American blood or Iraqi blood for something we don't know what the consequences will be.
Ed, thanks very much for the history lesson, and I wanted to get a quick reaction from Samer Shahata on the first part of your question about whether this is reasonable trade, as Secretary Rumsfeld suggested, for Saddam to go into exile if there's no war and perhaps be not be subject to prosecution. How would that go over, do you think?
Well, I think it would go over well. I mean, this is clearly, possibly the best outcome in a bad situation, as it were. I think that many people are critical in the Arab world, as Ed suggested, of a U.S. war effort, but I think it might go over fairly well.
Thanks very much for the phone call, and thank you both for being with us today. Samer Shahata is acting director of the Arab Studies program at Georgetown University. He was here with us in Studio 3A. Appreciate you taking time out to speak with us.
You're very welcome.
And Scott McCloud, good to speak with you again.
Thank you, Neil.
Scott McCloud, Cairo Bureau Chief for Time Magazine, and he was with us on the phone from Cairo. When we return from a short break, we'll be joined by Elliot Cohen to discuss whether a war with Iraq has now become inevitable as the result of the psychological effects of the buildup of American and British forces in the Persian Gulf. Give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or you can send email to us, TOTN@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.